up until now. Now we're like starting to simmer down. So we got some really cool things coming up for you guys this night. Like a bunch of cool stuff. Like you thought like the unicorn was cool. Like it's like cooler than that. Which is saying a lot. All right. So this next talk giver is someone who, yeah, we're really going to take this down notch. Like, we just got really hyped. But, like, when I think about the faith, like, the source and summit we know, like, is the Eucharist. Is, like, the most important thing that, like, draws everyone to this Catholic faith. Now, this person, this girl giving it, is someone who I admire and look up to so much in her faith. And I see it, like, not only in her, but in the way she acts. And the way that, like, I see her eyes look at the Eucharist. Now, in total to this is like one of my favorite people, and I'm so thrilled to introduce Ariana Camacho. Yeah!
Is this thing working?
Yes!
No. Tap it.
Tap on it.
No. I don't think so.
Hello?
Is it on?
Speak and tap it.
Spit on it.
No, it's supposed to be. Maybe not.
Speak into it.
Rest in peace.
And tap. Yep.
Woo! Everyone, yep. Let's go.
Guys, they knew it.
You guys cheated me like 5 seconds ago. You
can't get your job.
Hashtag not my backup.
Guys, if y'all don't already know who I am, I'm Ariana.
Hi.
I hope you guys are having a great weekend so far, because I know I am. But we still have so much more ahead of us. I know we just had a great time creating and presenting our posters. By the way, I know that you guys like won and stuff, but my group's poster was still the best, like obviously. Now, we may still have that high energy in us, but for the rest of the night, I'm going to ask that we dial it down a little. And, yeah. Okay, I'm going to read you a story, and I need you all to listen. And not only listen with your ears, but with your hearts as well. Hold on. Okay. Luke 15, verse 11 through 32, the prodigal son. Then he said, a man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me. So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck the country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here am I, dying of hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast. Because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked, 'What might this mean?' The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound.' He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf.' He said to him, 'My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.'" Now, after hearing that, I'd like you all to take a few seconds and silently reflect on what you just heard. Okay. Now, in the story of the prodigal son, the son takes it all from his father and thinks it's okay, but no, it's not. And he thought that doing this would make him happy, but he thought wrong. Because in this case, the son wastes everything on prostitutes, slaves, a big home, and food. But guess what? He ends up broke. He ends up having to sell himself out as a slave just to keep himself alive. He then realizes that, oh my God, why don't I just go to my father? I would be alive if it were for my father. But arriving home, his father sets his eyes upon him. He was lost and has been found, and he's back safe and sound. So just imagine saying to your father, "Give me my estate, give me my inheritance," and setting off for what you think is the rest of forever. Well, we do it all the time. Yeah, we might not actually be able to go up to our father and say, "Give me my estate and give me my inheritance," but we sin. We sin all the time. We are selfish. We put many things before our father, like things we think will make us happy, but who are we kidding? They really don't. In the end, we realize that we don't want those things over God, but we come crawling back because we yearn for his love and forgiveness. We come back because we need that healing, we need that new beginning, and we want to change. And our Father is there waiting for us. He is waiting with his arms wide open, with so much love in his heart. He is waiting to heal us and allow us to start again, over and over again. Yesterday, I was thinking to myself, and I was like, "All right, yeah, you're going to be nervous giving this talk, but girl, you got this." And then I was like, you know what, I need some praise and worship music up in here. So I put on some music, and the song that came on was "O Come to the Altar." Now, in this song, it says, "Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin?" And shortly after, it says, "O come to the altar, The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, this song always tells me that He is here. He died so our sins would be forgiven because He loves us. No matter what has separated us from Him, He is there waiting. And if you think about it, He doesn't make us come crawling back, falling on our knees, begging and asking for forgiveness. Instead, He meets us where we are. And we're never too far gone from the path to get back on. And along that path, we always have God's hand to hold because He loves us so much. He knows how our life will end up, so allow Him to be that light on your path and the hand you hold along the way. And although we don't always put our Father first, He loves us no matter what. Now, I'd like you all to think of yourselves as a son from this story. Would you be able to come back? See, if I were the son, I don't know if I would be able to do it. Like, I literally just took everything from my father. You can bet I wouldn't have the guts to come back, and I have the guts to do a lot of things. See, I also wouldn't be one bit surprised if my father didn't allow me or even want me to come back, because I don't even know if I would want my own son back, especially after doing that. But the God forgives. He loves and is waiting for us to come back. See, I would be so embarrassed and ashamed to even think about coming back. But then I realized I do it all the time. I sin. We all sin. And I know this because not one of us here is perfect. And although we may sin like a lot and we're nowhere near perfect, we all get the opportunity to confess to the Lord and ask for His forgiveness. In doing so, that makes us the son coming back to our Father. See, often we are not at peace with God. We are not at peace with ourselves. We like ourselves less. We almost give up on ourselves. We feel low and less worthy. We lose a sense of pride in ourselves and what we do. We see ourselves as losers and with little desire to do better. Now, I tell you all this because that's what it's like to be separated from God. And separation from God can affect your relationships. It can make you unfeeling or less caring. You might tend to be less of yourself, less sensitive, or even less considerate of others. It can make you feel cut off from the community or feel unworthy. As a matter of fact, I know that being separated from God can lead you in the wrong direction, get you in with the wrong crowd, and make you drift from those who you know are best for you and who know what's best for you. And I know all this because I've been through it. And I have many friends who have as well. See, when I was younger, I loved going to church. I went to a Catholic school. I had classes for my first communion. I had my first communion, and I loved it all. And it made me feel grown up and responsible. And at church, I didn't always pay attention, but I tried to for the most part, because at the end, there was donuts, and what little kid doesn't love donuts? Like, even, I still love donuts. But, after those early years, everything changed. I truly feel I was separated from God until I went to Steubenville Conference this summer and experienced adoration for the first time. Yes, I did have my high peaks before then, one of them being my grandfather's stories. See, the day he told me his story was the day I asked my grandfather to be my sponsor for confirmation. And when I asked him, his eyes widened and tears of joy began to drizzle down his face. He told me I was doing great things, and he loves how much I have grown in the faith, in the church, and my relationship with God. And he hopes that one day I would be able to bring the rest of my family back to the church. He then told me he was going to tell me a story. And the story was about his family trip to California. See, my family went on a trip to California a few years before I was born. And on this trip to California, my grandfather ended up in the hospital with my family beginning to lose hope in God because my grandfather had passed on that bed in the hospital. My grandfather went up to heaven, and I know this because he told me. He actually spoke to God, like literally spoke to God. He ended up telling God he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready to leave his family. He wasn't ready to leave this world, and he was too young for this. And that's when the heart monitor shot back up again, and everyone was in tears because it was a miracle. And I'm so grateful to have my grandfather here today because he has helped me overcome so much. Oh my gosh.
It's 4th of July.
North Korea.
Because he has helped me overcome so much, and he has helped me grow deeper in my love for God. Since that day he told me this story, I didn't think I could ever come closer to God, but then I went on my Antioch retreat. And that's when I saw how much God really loved me. He opened my heart and actually grew on me. I actually paid attention to God's story and how he has impacted those around me and how much of a Jesus high everyone was on. And truly, I understood that there really was a God and his story is greater than anything you could ever imagine. The only reason I really wanted to go on this Antioch retreat was because my friends were. I had no desire to get to know like everyone better, or I thought I was close enough as it was to God and I didn't need to get any closer. But while I was there, I actually listened to the talks, not just with my ears, but with my heart as well. I was hit by everything. I cried so much on that retreat because I related to so much. And I was not in a spot with Jesus that I truly wanted to be in. After the retreat, I went off and told so many people about it. I told them that they should come. I told them it was great, and I told them it was like the best thing I have ever experienced. But then came Easter. I went to this play that I go to every year, and it's such a beautiful play. It's about God's journey from the 3 days before he passed to his resurrection. Now, in the play, it was nearing the end where it was gloomy and stormy out, and everything began to shake and grumble, and the sound effects of the storm were on as usual, but this time it began to rain, and I was like, whoa, this rain, cool effects. Then I realized the rain was real. At this moment, everyone froze. The play stopped. People fell to their knees. I began to cry like many others. This scene was about 1 minute long, and that's exactly how long it rained. It was amazing because there was no cloud in the sky, and God was there and casted this marvelous miracle upon us that night. Now, these were all high peaks of faith for me and my love of God. But the greatest one of all was the adoration I experienced this summer. See, adoration is a sign of devotion to and worship of Jesus Christ. Adoration is adoring and honoring the Eucharistic presence of Christ. It involves the contemplation of the mystery of Christ truly present before us. When I experienced adoration, all I could do was gaze upon the monstrance. At the beginning of adoration, I wasn't sure what to expect. I have never been to adoration or even inside an adoration chapel. I prayed about everything I could possibly think about. I began to think about Jesus dying on the cross, and suddenly he had stilled my heart. So much love entered the room at that moment. I felt there was nothing between the Lord and I. I was not hiding behind anything. He was there. He was all around me and in me and everywhere. He was in everything. It was physically and mentally draining. During adoration, the priest walked by, and I touched the robe of God as he was carrying and worshiping the monstrance. And all I could do was smile and suddenly burst into tears. At that moment, I realized I have never loved God as much as I do right now. And I don't know how I could ever be closer than I am right now. I was filled with so much joy because I saw him, and I talked to him, and he was really there. Ever since then, God has placed something on my heart, and it was the desire to know him and know him more and fully in the Blessed Sacrament. Now, I know everyone has a different story, or you might not even have yours yet, or maybe you question if he's there or not. And I know some of you do because I have before. Those around us may talk about God just being a story we talk about, or something to worship just to worship something, and it makes you wonder if it's true. Because if God was really real, wouldn't you think everyone would believe it? But that's not the case here. In this case, in this case, in this case, he is here. He will always be here, and he always was here. Those who don't believe him, that's their problem, because they're really missing out. But don't let them separate you from God, because in middle school, I questioned it. And I kind of thought that church was boring, youth group was lame, and the retreats people go on, what a waste of time. I went to church less often and instead hung out with friends who I knew weren't good for me. I stayed locked upstairs on my phone, ignoring everyone and locking everything out. The life I was living in middle school is not one I would recommend. In middle school, I didn't have the greatest friends. I knew they weren't people I shouldn't really be friends with. But guess what? They were popular, and that's all I cared about back then. My friends cussed 24/7, went to parties and got drunk and high, and they had every guy falling for them, and I thought it was so cool. And who knows why, because right now I really don't. I drifted away from those who I knew I needed to stay friends with, but they weren't popular, so I had to say bye. And that was the dumbest choice ever. I was still a good kid because I didn't want people making me make new friends, like my parents. I didn't want them to find out that my friends were all the people they were, and I didn't want them to make me not be friends with them. I wanted to stay friends with them, so I went places with them. I made fun of kids with them, I gossiped about everything, and I did everything to make them happy. I didn't want them to think I was a goody-goody or anything. See, being separated from God made me feel smaller than others. At this time, I began to hear more and more stories about like church shootings and other things, and it made me scared. Stories like this made me realize that I needed to get it back together and pray more and go to church and be confirmed. Stories like this made me come running back for forgiveness like the son in the prodigal son. Now, I know the love of Jesus Christ is greater than anything you can imagine. To feel the love of Jesus makes me feel alive and loved, and I know it's something that will last forever. And that's why I want to help bring those who have been separated back to him. I have this friend who is drifting further and further away from God. They won't admit it, but I can see it, and others can too. And we have been seeing it for quite some time now. They're getting in with the wrong crowd, drinking more and more, and even smoking. It makes me upset because she's one of my best friends. I looked through our conversations, and I made it to a text that said, "Ariana, I freaking love you. You're like my best friend, and I tell you everything." Now the only texts I get are, "I don't really want to go to my youth group anymore." Or, "I want to go to a better one," or, "You want to go to a party," or, "I got drunk last night, watch these videos." And right now you can tell how unhappy they're becoming. They cry about who they've become, or what they've done, or even about starting to drift away from God. You can tell they want to come back to God, but something is holding them back. And we might all have that friend. We might all have a friend like this. And if you do, don't give up on them. They need your help. Even if they begin to grow from you or throw shade to you, still help them because you love them. Now, I have this other friend who will literally grab a hold of a string on your backpack and never let go, like ever. She'll follow you wherever you go, literally. I say that we get that string on Jesus's backpack and do the same, because the separation from God can really suck. Sometimes it can be like, you know, when you lose your mom at Walmart, and you like get really upset. Yeah. That's like pretty bad. Now just imagine how it feels to be separated from God. So right now, I don't know about you guys, but I really need forgiveness. I need change. I need to be made whole again. I need to forgive myself. For the longest time, I didn't want to go to confession because I would procrastinate going, or I'd fear what the priest might say. Or even I would get scared of what God might think. But guess what? He already knows. So asking for the forgiveness is one of the best things you can do. Our Father has given us so much, and one way we can show our love is by telling Him everything. Asking for forgiveness and telling Him everything shows Him we love and trust. Not only do I want God to forgive me, but I want to be able to forgive myself too. I have lied about so many things. And I go back and I'm like, why would you even think about lying about that? Like, are you actually dumb? I've been disrespectful. I have questioned why God wouldn't help me, like writing this talk. I know God chose me for a reason, but He was gone. For most of the time I was writing this talk, I didn't see Him, and He wouldn't help me. But to the day right before I had to share this talk with these amazing team members around you, that's when He came to me. I threw away my talk, and I started all over again. And suddenly He really helped me, and I got it done quick and fast. And, like, yesterday, I wanted to fix my talk a little, and He never came to me before then, so I couldn't ever fix it, so I had to start fixing it yesterday. So, with all these sins I have told you and so much more, I wish I could just ask God for the ability to sin no more. But that's not the case here. That's not how it works. We will always sin, but we do have the ability to sin less. We just have to work on slaying our sins. We can do that by just imagining them as dragons and slaying those dragons before they get bigger and bigger. Now, you all may be just as scared as I was before confessing. Just as I was, maybe you were thinking the same thing. But confessing allows you to breathe again. I decided I was going to surrender myself to God and humbly ask Him for forgiveness, knowing that it would be there just like the loving Father. Now, it's very important to me that all of you be healed and feel the peace of Jesus, because I love each and every one of you. And He has put all of you in this world for a reason. I will be praying for you all starting today and so on. And I know you all will do great things. Maybe not today, but someday you will. And I can't ask you all to go grow faith crazy in faith as me and the rest of these team members around you. But I want you guys to try. I want to also ask you to pray for me as well, in my faith and bringing others to God and becoming more comfortable with being uncomfortable. Now, before we close in prayer, I'd like to share this verse with you. And it is Jeremiah 24, verse 7. I will give them a heart with which to understand that I am the Lord. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return to me with their whole heart. Now, I'd like you all to think about that tonight. Now, I'd like everyone to close your eyes for a quick prayer. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, I ask that you give all of these amazing and beautiful people the courage to ask you for forgiveness. I pray that they find their story of High Peak to share with you one day, and they realize how great your love truly is, and that they have you, your hand to hold on to along the way. And if they have been separated, they find their way back with your help. I'd like to end in prayer with an Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.